Welcome to all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. On behalf of the Howe family, Joanne, children and spouses, grandchildren, welcome. Thank you for your love and your care for them in this very, very hard time. On behalf of this entire assembly, Joanne, children, grandchildren, extended relatives of the Howe, we're grieving with you today. Of course, we're brought together by the sad occasion of Peter's untimely death last Friday. To us, he was variously husband, father, papa, sibling, elder, professor, neighbor, friend. We knew Peter. We miss Peter. We love Peter. Which is why we must pour out our hearts to the Lord. As he says, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. With that, let us pray this morning as we begin. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to you this day, a very hard day for us. But we know that as your word promises, your mercies are new every morning. And Father, we trust in that same promise that your mercies endure forever. Help us in this day to grieve in faith, hope, and love. Bless us this day with your presence. Where we are weak, make us strong. May we trust in you this day and have joy even as we grieve. We ask, O Lord, for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, for Jesus' presence in him and with the word given today. Bless our hearts, sad and troubled, to be lifted up in your mercy and grace. Bless us in this time, and may we see in Christ a ready and sufficient Savior, even through death. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Psalm 100A. Please stand.
Sing to the Lord with joy.
For proper grieving, it's vital that we agree with what the Scripture says about death and deliverance. A summary could be this: Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all because all sinned. Thus it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. So then all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. As Jesus himself says, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of Hades. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Therefore God calls to us, repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Thus we should each say with the Apostle Paul, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And thus it is, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. The righteous will be remembered forever. Thus is Peter remembered. God so remembers him. The righteous man will be glad in the Lord and take refuge in him, and all the upright in heart will glory. How then might you glory in God in Peter's life? Peter's obituary well notes, together with Joanne, he set an example of sincere faith, steadfast service, hospitality, integrity, generosity, and good cheer to everyone who knew him. Peter took as his own and his family's motto Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. In that spirit, to comfort the family, perhaps you'd like to give God glory for his blessing to us in Peter. If so, you may stand. Share those words with us and do so briefly.
Yes. See how they loved him. Thank you all for being here. Peter has touched all of our lives, and we loved him greatly. It is no surprise that so many people are gathered here in love for God for one another, for the Howe family, and for Peter. No, I don't have an outline. This is going to be more heart than head. I think Peter would be amused by this rather than disappointed. Peter was always early for everything, but in his untimely death, he has taken this good habit much too far. Wherever you went in church life, Peter was already there. And so it is now with heaven itself. How terribly appropriate. I was certain that Peter would be at my funeral saying nice things about me, but here I am at his funeral saying nice things about him. This is not difficult. You understand, of course, that any nice things that can be said about any of us are testimonies to the grace of God in the lives of his people. Peter and Joanne were involved in the outreach to Oswego from the very beginning, along with the Hubers and Serranos. The Furmans and Ramseys also supported this work. All this was under the pastoral care of Charles Leach. I worked with Charlie when I was an intern in Syracuse and submitted to his encouragement to continue the work in Oswego when he went to Japan. It was natural for the congregation to call me as pastor when they were organized, but Peter made sure it was not a mere formality. He insisted that the new congregation make a careful discernment of God's will in the matter of calling a pastor. This was a milestone in my great respect for Peter and my blessing in our brotherly fellowship and labor. Peter served in the Oswego congregation as chairman, treasurer, and deacon, all at the same time. Church planning ordinarily involves the same few people doing many different things. Later, he served very well as an elder for many years. He was a tremendous help in everything that he did. He was steadfastly loyal to the Lord, which sometimes meant disagreeing with me. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and Peter was one of my best friends. Peter loved the Lord with all his heart, and he loved me and my family as himself. I trusted Peter. In particular, I trusted him always to seek truth and righteousness, and to lead us in them just as he walked in them and led his family in them. I remember only one argument with Peter. The reason I remember it is that even in the midst of a very sharp disagreement, it seemed that any temptation to enduring animosity could not stand against God's love for us. The temptation to bitterness was like mist on a summer morning, not much and not long, there and quickly gone. We never came to agreement on the matter, but our brotherly affection was completely unharmed. I preached on joy this past Lord's Day, and many of us observed that Peter was one of the most joyful people we knew. He was not merely optimistic. Rather, he had true joy grounded on God's faithfulness to his promises to save and bless all who call on him in truth. Therefore, Peter saw the best in everything and in everyone. He was not easily or long discouraged, and the Lord used this special gift and virtue to enable Peter to accomplish incredible things and to be a tremendous encouragement to many people. Peter was a man of biblical principle and Christian compassion. He was both firm and tender in his dealings with people. He could admonish a disorderly child one moment and, upon manifest repentance, give them a big hug and a hearty laugh in the next moment. Peter and Joanne were an amazing team. In fact, Peter and Joanne was one thing, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. The Lord used their hospitality to build the Oswego RP Church. The openness of their hearts and their home blessed many people over many years. The Oswego congregation, including my pastoral ministry, desperately needed Peter and Joanne and would not have survived or thrived without them. Peter was an extremely generous man. He seized every opportunity to help and bless. He knew my son was interested. In economics, and though still in high school, invited him to participate in a banking course Peter was teaching at Oswego State. This was a tremendous encouragement to my son at a very, very critical time that neither he nor I will ever forget. Peter helped me install a bathroom fan many years ago, climbing into our cramped and stuffy attic. I'm pretty sure he was a little annoyed with me at first, rightly thinking that I should just take care of this myself. But very quickly, he had pity on me and cheerfully and skillfully helped me get the job done. Peter was generous, but he was also, of course, fiscally conservative. If it weren't for Peter, I would have given away all our psalters, one at a time, to anyone who didn't have one. He even went so far as to take a psalter out of my hands when he saw me on the way to deliver an imprudent gift. Peter was an incredibly courageous man. I never saw him intimidated by anything. He was determined and deliberate, but never rash. Well, okay, maybe a little rash on a few occasions, like doing fine carpentry with a chainsaw. What great and manifold blessings we all have enjoyed from our Savior Jesus through our brother Peter. May the Lord welcome Peter with exceeding joy, and may he comfort us in our insufferable sorrow. And may we honor our Savior by imitating our brother in sincere love for God and joyful service to everyone, especially one another.
Hello, I'm David McCune. Together with my wife Barb and children Annie and Allison, we have known Peter and Joanne since the summer of 2003. So for the last 13 years, they have become dear friends and fellow workers in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ here in this place, Messiah's Church. Were it not for our common faith together with the people here, we might not have met. Many of you have known Peter for longer than this. I am pleased for you to have had this great privilege. I have two questions for you all. I think you all have the same questions that I have. These two questions are on everybody's lips or on everybody's minds here today. Why Peter? Why now? I mean, we may not have the full answer of that, but I'm going to attempt, at least in partial, to answer some of it with you here today. It's been a great privilege for us to worship with Peter and Joanne here in this place for the last 13 years, and we've got to see a lot about their lives. You siblings, I just met you a little bit last night for the first time. I've watched Peter, when your dad passed away 10 years ago, tears in his eyes as he recalled the many good memories of his father and life growing up here. That touched me. And then, only just last year, you said goodbye to your mother. Who of us could have believed that within a year or two, we'd be doing this for Peter? Why Peter? Why now? If any one of you had a preference, you would have said, well, the oldest should go first and the youngest should go last. That's our order. That's what we expect. So this is totally unexpected. But you know, part of the answer to that question is he was ready. unmistakably ready. You've heard testimony of it here today. He had all his affairs in order. Only just last year we took the Financial Peace University class here in this church, and he and Joanne were here diligently every day of the class, working out those details of being ready for eventualities in life, preparing for end-of-life situations. And Joanne just said to me this week, I can pay for this funeral because of financial peace. He was ready. He was ready in more ways too. I'm probably not going to enumerate all of them because I can't remember them all, but you can think of many of them. He even announced to us later this year, or earlier this year, that he and Joanne had paid off some of their major debt. They'd taken care of that. I imagine that he's had a good will set out, and that's taken care of too. And as has been expressed already, he settled his account in heaven. Jesus had paid for his sin. And we know that he's praising God like he was praising God here in this place with all the angels and the heavenly host forever. And none of us have to worry about him anymore. What a blessing that is. Oh, there's some other ones that I had in my mind I wanted to share with you, but thank you. Thank you. Joanne told me that as well. He was marking the last week of his life, his students' classes, and he wouldn't have wanted to leave any of those students hanging, not knowing what their grades should have been. And he took the time. He didn't just grade them and hand them in. He graded them, and then he spent a week going back over each student and thinking about whether this was fair to that student or not. He revisited twice to make sure that this was the correct grade for the student, and he handed them in on Thursday, the day before he died. Isn't that incredible? What an organized man. Who of us wouldn't like to be like that? And there's other things too. One of the things that I'm thinking is I'm a little bit nervous for the future as an elder here in the church. He's left a huge hole. He did a lot for us. I'm not able to fill those shoes at all. But I know that God has a purpose in this, and he's going to walk us through. He's going to take us by the hand and help us through this. And I know you're all hurting, especially Joanne. But I'm pleased to have known this man. He was a very able, hardworking, and diligent in his work here in our church and in his life calling, teaching students economics at Syracuse University, OCC, SUNY Oswego, Casanova College. He was a joy to share life with, and we have had him and Joanne in our home and been in their home many times in these last 13 years. Enjoyed pork. He loved to cook pork. You could be guaranteed you were going over to the house, it would be pork. And early on when he started baking bread, he would bake the bread and bring it to fellowship lunches at church. And I thought, I don't want any of the kids to get that bread because they're going to throw it in the trash. But he selflessly and generously did those things. He was a good friend, interested in people, and especially students. Even our daughters as students, he would ask about them often. We've spent the last 13 years worshiping God together here in this place. We've prayed together many times, at least twice a month, maybe more. In fact, only 10 days ago, the last Sunday evening of his life, it was snowy like today. In fact, it was even snowier, and it was dark. We're driving down 31. Barb says to me, honey, turn around and go back. This is dangerous. And me being like a typical guy, I'm determined to get there. I'm going to press on. And I got here, and I got under the awning, and there was nobody here. And I said to Barb, we'll wait 15 minutes. If nobody shows up, okay, we'll go home. 5 minutes later, guess who shows up? Peter shows up. He winds down his window and says, let's go inside. And we had worship together for the last time in our lives. Wouldn't have believed it. What a blessing, what a memory that is to me. We sang, we read scripture, considered his word, and prayed. We prayed for needs and people in our church. We have done that often. Maybe some of you here know God, know this Jesus whom we have worshipped. I encourage you to continue doing that wherever you do. Maybe some of you are looking for a place to do this. I invite you, if you're local, to come and worship Jesus with us here. Peter prayed during his lifetime that the seats in this church would be filled. Look around you right now. The seats in this church are filled. Maybe it wasn't entirely the answer to his prayer, because I suspect you're not all going to come back on Sunday morning, but at least we've been able to see for ourselves an answer to Peter's prayer. What a delight that is to us. And especially last night, I couldn't believe it when I drove down the driveway. I couldn't find a parking space. I had to park somewhere that I think ended up being a problem for people to get around the parking lot. Maybe some of you don't know about God yet, or are wondering about who this God is that we worship. Well, lest you think we're some sort of super people, I assure you, we are just as ordinary about our lives as you may find yourself. We have needs as well, but we find often that the Lord graciously, not miraculously, but often simply provides for us as we go about our lives and worship him each week. We invite you to join us. You don't have to have it all worked out. We don't. If we did, we probably would have known that this was going to happen today. Simply come and join us and listen and learn of this God whom we worship together. I'm reminded of a book, maybe some of you are familiar with, the late German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote a book, and it's called Life Together. And that's what it's about. We live together, and we're all different. Were it not for the gospel, we wouldn't come together. But we have joy in this careful life, living together. He promises to reveal himself to those who truly seek him. Only he can do that, not us. But I assure you, you will not regret it. Peter did this, and we know now that he does not regret it. God blessed us all with Peter's life, those of us who knew him. To you grandchildren, Aiden, Portia, Niall, Hunter, Lucy, Peter, and Dinah, some of you may not remember this day very well, but your grandpa was a good man, and he has left you with a wonderful heritage. You will be proud of who he was and what he accomplished in his life. Let me take a drink of water. To you children, Daniel and Esther, Michael, Mara and Adrian, there they are, right there, David and Kate, please be assured that we're praying with you and for you in your grief. We love you and have shared some of life with you and look forward to sharing more of life with you. To Joanne, Barb, and I especially love you, dear friend and sister in Christ. If you need to come over to our home for anything, know that you're welcome at any time. And we will probably come and be with you in your home. We ache with you in your loneliness. You will miss him the most. What a blessing he was to our lives. Thank you.
Let's sing Psalm 119s. Given glory to God, and God would speak to us. Genesis chapter 5, you'll find the passage in your bulletin. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Then the days of Adam, after he became the father of Seth, were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. Then Seth lived 807 years after he became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and became the father of Kenan. Then Enosh lived 815 years after he became the father of Kenan, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Kenan lived 70 years and became the father of Mahalalel. Then Kenan lived 840 years after he became the father of Mahalalel, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and became the father of Jared. Then Mahalalel lived 830 years after he became the father of Jared. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years, and became the father of Enoch. Then Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is God's word that's read to us. That final verse is stunning. It is a shocking verse, surprising. There came a day when Enoch, known to many, was not. God took him. That's stunning. We can imagine the shock. Where is he? Has anyone seen him? But Enoch was just dot, dot, dot. But there came a day and time when he was no longer here. As it says, he was not. This is stunning. Indeed, it was stunning last Friday when God's providence unfolded as it did with Peter. You probably remember, as if a JFK or a 9/11 moment, what you were doing, where you were when you heard the news of Peter. It stunned us. We were shocked. We're saddened. But there's something here with Enoch and with God's dealings with this man that opens up comfort to those who mourn. Note that the reason is given for why Enoch was not. It says he was not, for God took him. The Bible later tells us that by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Enoch bypassed death. He avoided death altogether. He was translated from earth to heaven. He was taken up there. There is with Enoch what the Bible everywhere proclaims and celebrates. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. Right here, in the midst of Adam's genealogy, because of his fall into sin and death, right here, there is one man who escaped death. It's stunning. It's shocking. You see it there. Adam lived and raised children and lived many years longer, and he died. Seth lived and raised children, lived longer, and he died. The same for Enosh and Kenan and Mahalalel and Jared. They all lived, they had and raised children, they lived longer, and they died. But for Enoch, he lived, raised children, lived longer, and God took him. God took him. What a remarkable break from this pattern. It's stunning. Enoch escaped death. He implies what Jesus said. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Again he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Genesis 5 reminds us that the wages of sin is death, but also that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It is stunning. It is shocking. Thus God took Enoch. How wonderful. That word that he took Enoch is the same word that you find back in Genesis chapter 2 when God took Adam's rib to make Eve. In other words, he took it only to make something better, something more beautiful, more complete, more glorious. And by that taking, Adam didn't have less. He had more because of it. God's taking Enoch, God's taking Peter, means that something better has happened for him because of it. There's something greater. There's something better, more glorious that is before him, and that is Christ in all his glory. The freedom, unbridled freedom for Peter to worship him. Peter has not less, but more. He has Christ. He has angels. He has all the redeemed, the saints. He has Christ himself. But of course, unlike Enoch, Peter has died. No matter. Let us be comforted with the fact that God took him. God took him. When you think about it, the Lord only takes what's rightfully his. Never steals. Jesus tells us that the thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Lord takes what is rightfully his. And he paid for Peter by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Friday was time when God took possession. He took him. And yet in secret ways nonetheless, God came, did he not, for what appealed to him. He came for what he valued. What he strongly desired, could we say what he lusted for and coveted in infinite love and holiness and grace? He came for Peter because God loves Peter. God values Peter. God wants Peter. And so God took Peter. It's stunning. As the scripture says, God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. And friends, this is your and my comfort. It's your comfort to know that like Enoch, Peter walked with God. And so then, in a sense, God took him. And he is not with us. It's your comfort to know that Peter is doing in glory what he did here on earth. You've heard all the testimonies. You've heard the words. He is now still walking with God. He walks with God. Enoch walked with God and the Lord took him. This walking with God was the testimony that he and now Peter too has obtained. He was pleasing to God. Man, could Peter walk. Peter could walk. What was it? Up to like 5 miles an hour, I think he was saying, he could do in 1 hour. I remember distributing literature to the neighborhood here with Peter. It was in one of the first times we did it, going knocking on doors, greeting people, bringing the good news, inviting them to worship God. I set out with a stack of literature. Peter set out with a stack of literature. His was for sure a larger section to be covered than mine was. I came back and there was a note on my door saying I ran out. It turns out it was 20 minutes before I came back. Peter could walk. Was there anything that Peter ever did without vigor, exuberance, intensity, life? Roasting coffee, fixing meals, baking bread, telling stories, laughing aloud, exploring interests, singing psalms, and walking, but walking with God in all of these things. Peter was a walker. He walked with God. What is it to walk with God, you might wonder? Well, to walk with God is to be humble before God. It's to be committed and submitted to Him by trusting in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. It's to be thankful for the mercy of the cross and the power of the resurrection. What is it to walk with God? It's to want and to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. The Scripture says, "How shall two walk together unless they be agreed?" Peter walked with God. God found that agreeable, and so did Peter. This is quite a reversal from what we read in Genesis chapter 2, where Adam and Eve, after their sin, hid from God when He walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Peter was freed from sin. Sin forgiven through Christ's death at the cross and faith in Him. Peter was freed with new life to walk with God. And so he walked. Only Jesus makes this change by grace. And Peter walked that way. Like Enoch, Peter walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Friend, God is here extending to you that same invitation and opportunity. He's reaching forth that strong hand and saying to you, "Will you walk with me? Will you take my hand? I offer it to you. I offer my fellowship. I offer forgiveness. I offer life. Will you walk with me? I'll save you. I'll comfort you. I'll lead you right into eternity, unto endless days. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil, for I am with you. You'll go from strength to strength until you appear before the face of God. You'll even join Enoch and Peter and all the redeemed who have confessed from Psalm 116. You have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Do you need comfort today? Walk with God. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, walk with God. God save and comfort our sad hearts today with glorious grace in His Son. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we've given testimony of Your work in Peter's life to save him, to make him a man after Your own heart. And Lord, You've spoken to us and given us invitation to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that we may be saved and walk as disciples freed from sin and death into the very lands of the living, to the very recesses of eternity itself. Lord, we only wish that we could be with Peter and walk there. But as it is for us today to walk with grief, to walk with the pains and the memories, Lord, You've given us good that we might grieve and hope. Help us, O Lord, whenever we remember these words of Enoch walking with God and His suddenly not being because You took him, to comfort our hearts. Lord, help us this day and the days to come by Your word of grace. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. One of Peter's beloved psalms was Psalm 130. And we're going to sing that right now, Psalm 130. God reaches us even in the depths to lift us up. Let us sing His praise, 130a.
Oh,
I've asked Pastor Schwartz to lead us in pastoral prayer.
Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you as the creator of all things, the one who has established every event in certainty, the one who is the source of all good, and the one who will undo all evil. Lord, your appointment of Peter's death at this time confuses us, and we do not and cannot see the good in it. We are dismayed and devastated and do not know what to do or how to do it without him. But you are God, and all that you do is perfect and wise and good. And so we humble ourselves before you, trusting your wisdom and goodness as a little child does their father, because we do not know and we cannot see and we cannot understand. But Lord, we do pray that you would have mercy on us. We pray that you would give us comfort that is beyond our discernments, that you would give us encouragement that is beyond our comprehension, that you would give us strength and courage to do the things that you would have us do in this time until you call us home. Lord, we pray that you would remove every regret, that as we reflect on our relationship with Peter and as we find fault with ourselves in various ways, we pray according to your promise that you would forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And with us, with this, give us the assurance that as on earth, so in heaven, Peter also fully releases us. And Lord, surely, if we can't even remember any way that Peter had sinned against us, may that also be washed away in the flood of the mercy of Christ. Lord, give us your peace fully and completely. And Lord, we thank you so much for the blessings we have all enjoyed from you through Peter. Truly, his joy, his zeal, his love, his perseverance, his encouragement, his compassion. Lord, all the virtues that you gave to Peter from Jesus that we benefited from, we thank you and praise you. And as many have said, please, Lord, now, so work in us that we may fill that place and deal with one another and others in your name with that same love and compassion and zeal and virtue that we have all enjoyed from Peter. And Lord, we pray earnestly for your comfort on Joanne, the children, the grandchildren, the family extended, and all of us who love Peter and were loved by him. Please give us your comfort. Give us your encouragement. Give us your peace. And may you seal in our minds and in our hearts these delicious memories of Peter and sustain us in our sorrow and bring us to a place of joy in these good memories. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your goodness to us through Peter Howe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The last thing we'll do here is to sing Psalm 20b, which was Peter's favorite psalm. I remember him requesting this often and always, it seems. We love Peter, and we must sing this with Peter Howe vigor. Let's stand to sing. You and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.